first. I heard an old story, and it said in front for me, how he lived his life on Calvary to save our resurrect faith. And we don't know about his wonky being, or his precious blood's atoning, that I repented of life, saying that point of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me that he bought me with his redeeming blood. Christ, thou he bought me there, and I knew him, and all I love is in him. Being on slave to victory, beneath the cleansing flood. On the last, I heard about a dead son, his feeling worth anything for me. Then I heard about the streets of gold, beyond the greatest souls, feet, about me shall see me, every old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing the favorite song of victory. Oh, victory, giving us, I sing for forever. He's on free and bought me, so with his redeeming blood, pray for he loved me, but he knew him. And all my love is to him. He walks me to victory, beneath the cleansing blood.
All right, y'all go ahead and be seated while we do the missionary report this evening. Our missionary of the week is the Schiffbauer family to Bulgaria and the Gospel Film Project. We'll start with the Schiffbauer family to Bulgaria. I think it's awesome that they have been together as a family in Bulgaria for 6 months by now. So this is a February letter, so by now they've been there for 6-7 months. And I know, and in fact, he even says culture shock has started to settle in on some of the children, so they asked for prayer for that. I can't even imagine being a teenager. It looks like they've got some teens and littler kids as well. Can you imagine being a teenager and going from living in America to going and living in an Eastern country? I just can't imagine the culture shock that they must be going through. So we'll pray for them about that time of adjustment. The last thing that they need as a parent is to have their children's heart turned away from the ministry. So it's real important that they adjust. He said in the last prayer letter they were applying for their long-term visas for the family, and they praised the Lord that they were approved. So that's great. And let's see. And their language, they've only been there a few months, so they've continued in their language learning. And he says all the kids have a Bulgarian class in their school. And, of course, the children always pick it up a lot quicker than the adults do. And that's what he says here, especially Joseph. He has already began to speak a little bit in Bulgarian to natives. So that's amazing. He says, we're already making plans. I love this. They're already making plans for this summer that will immerse us in the Bulgarian culture and language. And that's really the only way to learn is just get immersed in it. Just dive right in. He says, one of the plans is to canvass the area. He says, our area includes, and he calls these regions, Pavlovo, Buxton, Manisterski, Labadi, Borovo, and Boyana. These are all regions. He calls these regions. He said, as far as we know, there is not one gospel-preaching church in any of these regions. And what they would love to do is to begin some Bible studies and see a church planted in that area, in those areas right in there. I don't know the geographical dimensions of that, but that's their desire. So let's pray for the Schiffbauer family in Bulgaria. This next one that I want to share with you, the gospel film, Dr. John Reynolds is the vice president. I met him for the very first time. He came here and preached. And what a servant of the Lord. I was just so impressed, not that that matters, but I was impressed with him being in the way that he preached and taught. Anyway, this the Gospel Film Project, I never heard of it until I came here, and I began to read every letter that came in. I'm just blown away. So I want to share two paragraphs with you and then a couple of the responses. He says, "Dear friends and faithful supporters, I'm so thrilled to announce." But first of all, let me say that. Has anyone watched the Gospel Film video? Has anyone watched that? I haven't either, and I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I've never seen it, but he says, "I'm so thrilled to announce that God has brought us across the threshold of 250 million impressions of the Gospel Film on social media. A quarter of a billion people have had a chance to access the Bible way of salvation through this film." Let me skip on down to the next one. He says, "In the month of February," I'm blown away at these numbers. In the month of February, the Lord allowed the Gospel Film to reach precious souls in the countries of South Sudan, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, Canada, Ukraine, Italy, and several of the small islands of the Caribbean, Barbados, Antigua, Barbuda, St. Lucia, Grenada, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines, Dominica, St. Martin, St. Kitts, and Nevis, however that's pronounced. He says, "Furthermore, we were able to target people in Cambodia, Laos, and Vietnam who had a Thai language interest. We also used the same approach in Belarus, Kazakhstan, and Mongolia to reach those who had a Russian language interest. The film came in contact." Listen to these numbers. "The film came in contact," and I guess they have a way to metric this. Since it's social media, I'm sure they have a way to measure it. "The film came in contact with 9,500,000, this is all in February, 9,518,414 people. It received 7,376,800 views. There were 86,216 reactions," so thumbs up or whatever, "and 10,320 shares, with 1,913 professions of faith that they know of." That's in February alone, 1,913 professions of faith. Now let me give you, he always puts down some of the responses that they receive. Let me read just a few of these to you. One of them says, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my God and my Savior. Write my name in the book of eternal life. Amen." Another one says, "Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me. I beg you, Lord." Another one, "I believe and know that He is alive, and that's why I beg for His forgiveness, because I am a sinner." Next, "Father, I believe in you with all my heart. I am a poor sinner. Please forgive me. Amen." "I am sincerely touched by this message. I invite Jesus to come into my heart. I want to live with Him throughout my life on earth. Amen." And there's two more that I want to share. "Lord, save me. I want to go to heaven when my time comes. I come to you. The truth is in you. In your hands I entrust my life. I feel you holding me. I'm not perfect, but I ask you to rescue me and save me. Amen." And then one more. "Thank you for this great movie. Thank you very much. I have believed that there is a being somewhere more higher than us, but I did not know who He was. I have prayed to Him for a long time. Now I know Jesus is the Savior. Amen." That is amazing. That's just amazing what God can do with a film. All right, so let's pray for the Schiffbauer family to Bulgaria and the Gospel Film Project that God will continue to use it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, our hearts are just so just bursting with joy that this many people were able to have an opportunity to hear the gospel in media content, and then so many actually viewed it, and then all the ones that shared it, but especially the 1,900 and some odd people who actually trusted in you as their Savior. Lord, what a tremendous blessing it is to know that we have a small part financially in this labor of love. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this ministry, bless these men as they continue to enhance and to sharpen their skills and to get this gospel message out throughout the tools that you've given us today. We're here for such a time as this, and they're using it to its fullest potential. Continue to bless them. Lord, we do pray for the Schiffbauer family, Lord, that you'll continue to use them and stretch them and grow them and encourage them as they continue on in this first year of ministry in Bulgaria. We pray specifically for the children Lord, we don't want their hearts to turn away from you and to get bitter while they're on the field. So I pray that you would help them to adjust to the culture and help them to learn the language quickly. And I pray that you'd help the Schiffbauers to see souls for their labor, souls for their effort, and continue to encourage them in Christ. May you be honored and glorified in these works. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn over to hymn 272. We'll sing the first and last verse of I'm on the Wind Side. On the first, was I drifted out in sin, had no home, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then the Savior came along and he showed me I was now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out of sin, no more will I abide. I've been listed in the fight for the cause of truth and pride. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. On the last, I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And it him so often I run by. He's the King that loved my soul since I gave him full control. And he placed me on the winning side. And when I am on the winning side, yes, I fall on the winning side. Out and say, no more will I abide. I'm invested in the fight for the cause of truth and pride. Pray the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I'm the Day Magazine.
I'm just going to take this time to introduce Brother Yap, as then the ladies are going to come and sing. And as we've known the brother, call him Robbie, but Robert. You going by Robert now instead of Robbie? You're still a kid at heart? Brother Robert for a long time. And first introduced to him at West Coast years ago at West Coast Baptist College. And, of course, then him and Miss Sarah having got married. And Miss Sarah's originally from our church, went to West Coast Baptist College out of our church in 2014 and graduated, and now in the ministry. Good investment, amen? Good investment. And a wonderful, wonderful family, the Harrison family. We still miss them. And so, but so glad to have them. So starting a church in California. And as I said this morning, California needs it really bad. But so does Texas. And that's because all the Californians are moving here. But no, seriously, there's a great need in California, great need there, and I appreciate their willingness to go there. As he said, just a small, you know, three-bedroom, two-bath home or one-bath home, you know, $1 million. You know, I know we complain about houses here and how high they've gotten over the last few years, and it's ridiculous, it really is. But California is just unbelievable. Can you imagine the cost of living there and the support that the Yaps will need? And we've started supporting them several months ago, and we continue to support them throughout this, and appreciate them very, very much. So after the song, is there not a song? There's a song. Yep, here it comes. After the song, Brother Yap's got his presentation, and he'll come preach for us.
We each could tell a story of how he brought us here, gave us hope and banished all our fear. But from our many differences, His love has made us one. This song we share has only just begun. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the praise belongs to Him. All that I am or ever hope to be, all the glory belongs to Him. What now is all mystery, one day will all be known. Perfected, we will stand before God's throne. Our Lord will be the sun and moon of shining endless days. The heavens then will echo when we sing. All the glory belongs to Jesus. All the praise belongs to Him. All that I am or ever hope to be, all the glory belongs to Him.
Los Angeles, a city of angels, known for its bright lights, fancy cars, and movie stars, its endless palm trees, attractions, and million-dollar mansions, and for places such as Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, and Hollywood, Los Angeles is truly a city like no other. Yet, there is so much more than meets the eye. When you take away all the glitz and glamour of LA, you are left with something that many do not want to think about, something that is less than desirable. In all reality, Los Angeles is a place where people are working 2, 3, and sometimes even 4 jobs just to stay afloat. It's a place where a family of 6 is somehow living in a 1-bedroom apartment, a place of gang violence, drug addictions, and substance abuse for any and all walks of life. It's a place of rampant homelessness. A place where there is a constant subconscious pressure to keep up with the facade of the LA lifestyle, while knowing all along that this lifestyle does not and cannot offer hope. It's a place where empty churches line the streets. A place where people are clinging to Christless religions and traditions. The City of Angels is a place of fallen angels, a place of spiritual darkness. My name is Robbie Yap, and my family and I are preparing to plant a church in Hawthorne, California, a city in Los Angeles with a population of 89,000 people. This city, along with its neighboring cities and unincorporated areas, has a population totaling nearly 500,000. And with over 90 languages spoken in the South Bay region, it is amongst the most ethnically diverse in all of Los Angeles. Statistics tell us that more than 9 out of 10 people in LA do not know the gospel, leaving the vast majority of Angelenos without hope. It is our desire to share this hope with the people of Los Angeles, and we are simply asking that you would partner with us in prayer. This goes without saying, but without prayer, we're all wasting our time. So please, anytime you hear the words Los Angeles, stop and pray. Pray for us. Pray for Angelenos searching for hope. Pray for the gospel to have free reign. Pray for people's eternity to be forever changed. And pray for more churches to be planted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." The harvest field of Los Angeles is great, nearly 12.5 million people.
So please,
pray.
Thank you just so much, church family, for having us and for just really partnering with us from day one. We really appreciate that. As I said, my name is Robbie. This is my wife, Sarah. And then we have our oldest son with us. That's my buddy, Jeremiah. So we have our one more son. And Jace is in the nursery, probably destroying everything right now. The building might burn down, but we'll all escape in time. And then we have one more on the way. We still don't know. So this one's kind of tricky. We've tried everything to figure out what this last one is, what the gender is. Done 2 blood tests, 2 ultrasounds, and we still have no clue. So it's a mystery to us. It's from California. It might be non-binary. I'm not sure. I'm sure there is a gender. We just need to find it. So pray that we can find that gender. But we are your missionaries to Los Angeles, California. A lot of people ask us, why LA? Why are you going to LA? Several reasons. First and foremost, God has called us to LA. And secondly, God is not yet done working in LA. He's not. 10 million people in the county. And as we saw, 9 out of 10 of them are on their way to hell. So if we did quick math, I don't know, you guys math in Texas? If we did quick math, that's 9 million people tonight going to hell in LA. We have 12.5 million in the metro area, 18.5 million in the greater Los Angeles area. So we take greater LA, if we can use Liberty for that statistic, that would mean 16.25 million people tonight in the greater Los Angeles area on their way to hell. To put that into perspective, 40 million people in the state of California, nearly half of them live in one section of Southern California, the greater Los Angeles area, and 16.25 million of them are on their way to hell. We have a lot of work to do, and we can't do it alone. We need more church planters. We need more people, as we heard today, this morning, Brother Mark, thank you for that. More people surrendering. Is there a missionary among us? We need more. And I believe if we can reach Los Angeles, we could reach the world. Why do I say that? Well, in our little section of the South Bay, there's 90 languages. In all of LA County as a whole, there's 240 languages represented. The world is there. I know that we need foreign missionaries. I'm not discounting that. But imagine if we could reach Los Angeles and we could reach one person from each of those different languages and we send that person back home. We could see the world turn to Christ. We could. But are we willing? We're going to need to reach these inner cities, Chicago. Needs help. New York needs help. Los Angeles needs help. Houston and Dallas need help. These major areas, these major metroplexes, if we can reach these major cities, we can reach the world because the world has come here. And we often complain about it. I've been there. I understand. It ruins a lot of things in our little bubble, but they need Jesus. So let's share the gospel, and let's do something together for the sake of the gospel. On a more practical level, why are we in LA? There's 4 main reasons. First, because of the statistics I told you about, more than 9 out of 10 are not on their way to heaven, right? That's the main reason. another reason there's 88 cities in our county. 88 cities in LA County. I can promise you this. Every single one of those cities could use 30, 40, 50 more churches. And we would barely begin to scratch the surface of what needs to happen in Los Angeles. We're not doing anything. 88 cities, they can all use 40 churches, I promise you. All the cities, literally, if you've ever been to LA, you know they just layer on top of each other. You blink and you're in the next city. They could all use more churches. Another reason is because it's the largest county in all the United States. Obviously, New York, that city in of itself, I think there's 8 million people. I could be wrong on that number. I don't know for sure. But that city, New York, and then all the surrounding areas still don't come up to the largest county. LA County is still the largest county in the United States with those 10 million people. That's another reason why we're going. There's such a great need. And one more reason is because of the homeless population. A couple years ago, it was 69,000. Last year, that number went to 75,000 people who are homeless in LA County. 75,000 people. That's more than most cities in the world. And it's in one county. They need help. They really need help. These are people who maybe they're looking for some kind of acceptance and they joined a gang and that didn't work out for them and now they're on the streets. Maybe these are people who have had a pretty awful life and so they turned to drugs to escape and it didn't work out for them and now they're on the streets. Maybe they were someone who crossed a border trying to find a better life for themselves and it didn't work out and now they're on the streets. Many of them are veterans who came home from overseas serving our country and their family left them and they took everything and now they're on the streets. But whatever the reason may be, then that number, 75,000 homeless in LA, is really indicative of the fact that LA as a whole, 10 million people, 18.5 million people in the greater LA area as a whole, that's the number that shows LA is a place without hope. That's really what it is. We think of LA as the glitz and the glamour and it's beautiful and the beaches and all the paparazzi and the sports teams and the celebrities, and that is there, but the average Joe is a place, that is a person that is lacking hope. They need hope, and there's no greater hope than the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the reasons why we are going to LA. And so we covet your prayers. We need your prayers. And if you can, please go to the back table there, and we have a display, and you can thumb through the picture book there and see Los Angeles if you've never been. And grab a prayer card. And I want to encourage you to do something else as well. There's a box of stickers there in the back, and it's not every city in California, but some of the more major cities in California. I encourage you to grab a sticker and pray for that city as well. Maybe it's El Segundo. Maybe it's Ventura. Maybe it's Sacramento. God knows we need a church that's preaching the gospel in Sacramento, right? I mean, whatever city it may be, grab that sticker and pray for that city that God would send a man and his family there. And then grab our prayer card and please pray for us as well. And I believe that together through prayer, we can reach California. And we would stop ruining all the other states, because that's what we're doing. We're ruining them. How California goes is how our country goes. And I understand it. I'm from California. It's the politics are crazy. The people are crazy. They call it the land of fruits and nuts for a reason. It's who we are. But pray for us. And don't always complain about California. Pray for California. And when your heart changes for California, maybe God will send you there. And that might have scared you right now. I don't want to go to California. Trust me, if you go, you'll love it because that's where God would want you. That's where he would want you. He wants you to be a light. And I believe the darkest place in our country, the two darkest places are New York and LA. And if you went there, you would stick out like a sore thumb, but you could reach people. They're hungry in California right now. That's why they're leaving. They're sick of it. They're fleeing. There's an exodus of people leaving California because they no longer like it. They're looking for something better. And then they get here to Texas or they get somewhere else, Arkansas, Branson, Missouri, wherever they go. And they find out, you know what? It's just as bad over here. What am I missing? This is what they're missing. So rather than leaving California and ruining all the rest of the country, how about we go there and reach them so they don't leave and ruin everything else and they have something and they start more churches and then we can bring good things to the rest of our country. That would be a great idea. So please pray for us. Please, please pray for California. We need your prayers. Take your Bibles if you would. Turn to Matthew chapter number 28. I know you might be thinking, man, the missionary is preaching on Matthew 28. We've probably heard this, I don't know, 1,000 times. I'm thankful, though, that there's always truths in the Bible that you might be able to see from a different perspective. Now, notice I didn't say there's no new truth, right? It's always been the truth, and it doesn't change. There's not any new truths in the Bible, but you might be able to see from a different light this evening. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And if you're familiar with this passage, it's often called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And when you read this Great Commission, you'll notice a word that's repeated in the Great Commission 4 separate times. It's a small word, only 3 letters. In fact, the last time it's mentioned, there's only 2 letters, and it's attached to a different word. It's the word all. All. Its meaning is quite simple. It means entirely everything. Someone once said it this way, all means all, and that's all that all means. Kind of redundant, but it gets that point across, entirely everything. But don't let the simplicity and the size of this word fool you, because this word, although it is small, is a very powerful, powerful word. It's powerful because it's an exact word. When someone says all, you know exactly what they mean. They don't mean 50%. They don't mean 75%. They don't mean 90%, or as Clorox and Lysol lie to you and say 99.999%. That's not what it means. That's not all. All means 100%. Entirely everything. And it's a powerful word because it's exact. It's also powerful, though, because it's extreme. It's an extreme word. Now, I know I'm in Texas. One of the biggest things in Texas is a sport called football, right? It's huge out here. I went to my brother's high school. He's in Conroe, the Woodlands area. And there is this cornerback. He was like Goliath. I'm like, man, this is the people that Texas pumps out, huh? That's in California. You're puny, small, skinny jeans, pink hair. We're feminine out there. But out here in California, I mean, in Texas, there's men and they play football. They're big, they're burly. And often every once in a while, what you'll see is that after a practice or after a game, the player will tell the coach, "Coach, I gave my all. I left my all in the field." What does that mean to leave their all on the field? It means their blood, their sweat, their tears, their concussion, their broken arm. It means they literally left everything on that field because that's the most important thing to them, is this pigskin, right? They left everything there. What a powerful statement. It's an extreme thing, all. But it's also an emphatic thing. It makes a big emphasis, right? Statements such as all or nothing. I mean, wow. This word is very, very powerful. And we come to this word in our text 4 separate times. The first and the last time, it's in reference to Jesus Christ, our God. And he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then he says at the very end, "Lo, I am with you. Always." Those are some powerful statements. Aren't you thankful for our God who's all powerful and he's with us always? But then the middle two, guess who those are in reference to? That's you and I, the church. We are to teach all things. And we're to go to all nations. Notice this as we read the text together, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen." All. Without it, you cannot fulfill the Great Commission. Without this small little word, it is impossible to be effective in your witness. With that, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into the message this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that it's the same. It hasn't changed. We thank you for who you are. A God who is the same and hasn't changed. A God who loves us. And Lord, if there's someone here under the sound of my voice this evening who has not yet experienced the love of God. They have not yet accepted you as their one and only Savior. I pray that tonight, through the preaching of your word, that they would understand the gospel and trust you for their salvation. For the rest of us, Lord, who are already saved, I pray that we would see this great commission from maybe a different perspective today that would challenge us to be more effective in our witness, and that through this, you would give glory and honor. Help me to teach the truth in love, and help me, Lord, just to be used as your servant. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit and your power this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know I have to give this disclaimer to you right off the bat, okay? I know I have to do this. So here it is. Gambling is something we should not do, okay? All right, we shouldn't gamble. If you have a gambling problem, pastor's right there. He'd love to help you out. But with that disclaimer, I do believe the game of poker can help us to understand the Great Commission. All right, here we go. You ready for this? Now, I'm not a poker player. I've never played the game of poker ever once in my life. I've seen it, though, a lot. I like ESPN. It's one of my favorite channels. So whenever I'm traveling, if ESPN's on, I'm watching it no matter what it is, usually. And every once in a while, the poker tournament will come on. And so I'll watch these players play this game, and it's all strategy. It's all this mind game. And what you'll notice in this game of poker is that these things are called chips, and you use these chips to place a bet, to make a wager, right? What did you guys learn in church tonight? How to play poker. That's not the goal of the message, okay? So you use these chips to place a bet, and every once in a while, you'll see this guy, and he has this poker face on, right? And he takes every single one of his chips, and he puts them all into the center of the table, every single one. And then he says a phrase. If you know the phrase, say it with me. I'm what? All. You have a lot of work to do, Pastor. A lot of gamblers. Hey, the altars are open. Can we have the piano begin to play, please? I'm all in, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. What does that phrase, I'm all in, mean? It quite literally means the guy has nothing left to give. He can't put anything else on the table, because all of his chips are already there. He's all in. He has nothing left to give. And did you know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is all in? So much so that he went to Calvary. He left heaven's glory, and he went, and he bled, and he died, and he was beaten, and he was bruised for you and for I, and he was all in. And he says, I can't give anything else. I've given my life. I've given everything that I can possibly give for the sake of you coming to heaven, for the sake of you having your sins forgiven. I've given everything I can possibly give. I'm all in. And did you know he also expects you to be all in? That's what he expects of us, to be all in. So are you? When we look at the question here faced in this Great Commission, the question really is this: am I all in? We see that Christ, from this passage, is all in. All power. All ways. He's there. He's done everything he possibly can do so that the gospel can be spread around the world. But it also takes you and I being all in if it's actually going to happen. So with that being said, this evening, I want you to see the four alls of a witness that is truly all in on the Great Commission. First, we see all power. All power, verse number 18. All power is given unto me, Jesus says, in heaven and in earth. So what do we see here? We see that Jesus, as the creator, God in the flesh, deity wrapped up in humanity, he has a universal control and authority and power over all things. Literally everything. Everything is under his watchful eye. Nothing takes him by surprise. Why? Because he's God. He created it all. He's watching over all. He's the one who's in control. He's the omnipotent one. He created this world in six literal days with words. Think about that. He spoke and it happened. And then when you get to day four, I believe it is, he says, and he made the stars also, like it's an afterthought, like it took no power at all. Oh, boom, there's the stars as well, just in case you forgot I was powerful. There you go. He's an all-powerful God. Everything's under his watchful eye, the God of countless miracles, the God of eternity past, the God of eternity present and the God of eternity future. He's the all-knowing one who is answerable to no one. This is the God that we serve. He says in the book of Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" It's a rhetorical question because, no, there's not anything too hard for him because he's all-powerful. But just in case you didn't believe it, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. So then you turn to the book of Luke. "For with God, nothing is impossible." This is the God that you and I serve, a God of all power. We find in the scriptures that his power extends over everything in this world, be that known or unknown, be that angels or demons, be that sinners or saints. The Bible says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. This war in Ukraine didn't take him by surprise. Hamas in Israel doesn't take him by surprise. And our president, Joe Biden, doesn't take him by surprise. He's in control of all of it. It's all under his watchful eye. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, that he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And if it stopped there, you can wrap up your Bible and say, man, that's a lot of power. But the verses don't stop. And it says, "And he is before all things." And then it continues and says, "And by him all things consist." As if the verse just keeps adding and adding to his power because it's unlimited. This is the God that you and I serve. It is limitless in both treasure, the amount in which he possesses, and time, the duration of which it will last. We know this because the Bible tells us in Chronicles chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11 that "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." We know this because God the Father says to God the Son, "Thy throne is forever and ever," in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. We know this because Revelation tells us he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. This power doesn't cease. He doesn't share it. He's never left his throne. He's never vacated it. No one's ever borrowed it. He's on the throne because that's where he's always been. And he will forever be there. This is the God we serve, the God of all power. But what does this have to do with you and me being a witness? Why, have you ever asked yourself the reason, why does the Great Commission start with "all power is given unto me"? I mean, this is the commission for us, so why is he talking about himself here? We find the answer, get this, when you continue to read your Bible. Just keep reading the verse, right? And then you find the answer. So he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore." Now, I grew up at Lancaster Baptist Church, and my pastor, Paul Chappell, would say this phrase over and over and over. If you went to church, he was probably going to say this phrase. And the phrase is, whenever you see the word "therefore" in your Bible, stop and look back to see what it's there for. And it helps you to understand your Bible a little bit better. When we do that for this passage, what do we find? We find that God's power is being attached to the action of our obedience. So it has everything to do with us being a witness. You can't separate it. All power is given unto me. Therefore, because he has all power, he has now given you and I a job. And we would be fools to not listen to the one who has all power. We would be fools to not be a witness. It's our job. It's our duty to go ye therefore. One Bible commentator puts it this way. He says, "Because all power is mine, go, I can defend you. The world is placed under my control. Though you are weak, yet I am strong. Though you will encounter many troubles and dangers, yet I can defend you. Though you die, yet I live." That's what we celebrated last week at Easter. "Though you die, yet I live, and the work shall be accomplished." So what we're faced with this first point is the question of, am I being guided by his power? Am I being a witness through his power? Am I living in his power? Am I sharing Jesus with his power? If not, we need to adjust some things in our life, because we're never going to be effective unless we have the power of God on our life. And this is not just for the pastor or the missionary or the evangelist. The commission was given to the church. We are to all live with the power of God on our life, each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest. You're to live with his power. And you're to share Jesus with Jesus' power. And that's how the Great Commission starts, which leads us right into the second point, all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Who is the them? All nations, baptizing all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So what we find is that since God has all power, we are to go in his power in order to reach all nations with his power. Now, why his power? Because it's the only power that can save. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only name that can save. I'm not here to offend anyone tonight, but if you're not saved through the name of Jesus Christ, you're not saved. Buddha cannot save, and Muhammad cannot save, and Joseph Smith cannot save, and the Catholic religion cannot save, the Pope cannot save. He is the highest authority in so-called Christianity in the world today, and he doesn't even know for sure if he's going to heaven, because if he claims salvation, it's the sin of assumption. There's only one name that can save. And we are to go to all nations, every single one, and preach his name, because it's the only one that saves. Now, this word teach here is very important. It means to make disciples of. In other words, to see people accept Christ, to see people get saved. Now, I understand that none of us in this room can save. If the Pope can't do it, I can't do it, right? If he's hopeless in that regard, so am I. So who saves? The one with the power. That's Jesus. So Jesus saves, right? We even sing it. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'm not going to sing because you guys all might leave. But he's the one who saves. So then where do we come in? Well, how are they going to hear? Unless there's a preacher. Unless there's a soul winner. Unless there's a witness. They're not going to hear the name unless we speak up. So we have to speak up, and we have to go and preach his name. And when we do that, people get saved. We tend to call this soul winning or witnessing or sharing your testimony, whatever you want to call it. Really, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you do it. And here's the cool thing about it. When you go out soul winning or witnessing or whatever your term is, the cool thing about it is it works. Soul winning works. Thank you, Pastor. Soul winning works. Thank you, Pastor, again. Soul winning works. Yes, we can say that, right? It works. How do we know it works? Look around. It passes the sight test. Look around this room. If soul winning didn't work, none of us would be here. But the fact that there's a church proves that it works. Because what's a church? It's a called out assembly of believers. And so I'm looking around, and the assumption is that the people in this room are believers, which means that someone spoke to you about the gospel, someone was a soul winner to you, which means then that you got saved and it worked. Right? It works. But don't just believe the sight test. There's a better test, the scriptures test. Look back in your Bible. Go ye therefore, verse 19, and teach all nations. Next two words, prove that it works. What are those two words? Baptizing them. Well, how does that prove that it works, Brother Robbie? There's an order to it. I don't care what the Pope says. You don't get baptized unless you've been saved. Then they gladly received his word, Acts 2:41. were baptized. There's an order to it. Saved, then baptized. You don't get baptized first, because if you do, it doesn't do anything for you. You took a bath. Now, I'm all being clean. I'm a germaphobe. Ask my wife, I am. But it doesn't do anything for your salvation. So the fact that Christ says baptizing them is proof to you and I that if we go out and do what we're supposed to do, people will get saved. Because he says they're also going to get baptized. And he wouldn't have put that there unless they were already saved. Does that make sense? So God proves to us in the text, if we do our job, it will work. We just have to obey. We need to obey. This is good news for us because it means we're not wasting our time. A lot of people say that soul winning doesn't work anymore. They've given up on it. It works. Just earlier in January, we were at a missions conference and we were out the old school door knocking, right? A guy was a Buddhist, talked to him, didn't get saved there, but came to church the next day, got saved. His name is Marcus. Another guy, name is Stephen. He came to the church for their missions conference because they were having food. He'd never been to the church before, but saw that there was food, showed up. Stayed faithful day after day after day. Goes out souling with me. He's not saved. We speak to a Catholic lady. He's like, that's who I am. What do you mean? I didn't know this church. I don't know who this person is. Got saved. Out soul winning. It works. But you say, well, it doesn't work for me. Are you doing it? It'll work if you do it. How do I know that? Because God says so. Baptizing them. He says it works. And so the fact that God says it works means that it works. And if we say it doesn't work, it's either God's a liar or you are. It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's the truth because it works. We're not wasting our time. Every time we share the gospel, it works. Now, we may not know who it works for. We don't know who's going to get saved and who's going to reject it. That's not our job, though. Our job is just to sow the seed. And seeds tend to grow. Sometimes they fall on the hard ground, but sometimes they fall on that rich soil that's ready. And you'll never see it work unless you just keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. That's why it's called fishing, right? Fishers of men. I'm an awful fisherman, right? I'm not good. But if I keep at it, it's going to work eventually because God says it works. And this is how we reach all nations. Is doing what God says. Now, on a practical level, there's three practical ways that we can reach all nations. Because when you think about that, I think it's 8 billion people. I'm not sure exactly, 8.5 billion people now. I don't know. It's always, seems like it's always changing. But 8.5 billion people, let's say, right? How in the world are we supposed to reach that many people? Because there's only a couple hundred here. So how are we to do that? Before I get into the three quick steps, I want to encourage you with this. There was 12 in an upper room, right? Those 12 men turned the world upside down. You say, well, the numbers were smaller back then. Yeah, but there's way more Christians today as far as the percentages wise, right? We could do it quicker if we would just obey, but we're just not. We're not obeying. So we can do it. So how? Three quick ways. First, personally. If you're going to reach the world, it starts with your circle. I'm convinced that if every single Christian reached their circle, we would reach the world. Because here's the cool thing about Christianity. You can't contain it. And so when someone gets saved, they get excited, and then they reach their circle. And then that person reaches their circle. Before you know it, everyone's reaching their own circle, and they're getting saved everywhere. That's what happens. That's what happened in the early church. It grew. God added to the church. 3,000 souls were saved. And then he began to multiply. I can't imagine if God does, and he adds by 3,000. I don't know what he multiplies by. But it works. It works if we do it personally. Reach your community. Reach your circle. A friend of mine says missions is across the street and around the world. It's both. We often just think it's around the world and we forget about Houston. We forget about Hazlitt. We forget about Dallas. We forget about Conroe. We forget about our state. For my situation, we forget about Sacramento. We forget about the cities that are just a stone's throw away. 4 or 5 hours, 2 hours, sometimes even 10 minutes. If we were just to reach the people we know, personally, it would work. Secondly, prayerfully. How do you reach the world? Personally, then prayerfully. In a video, we had Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. It says in that verse, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, please don't take this the wrong way. But often we think to ourselves, well, I can't be a missionary, but I can pray for a missionary. Doesn't work. Why? Because again, God is a God of order. You think your prayers are going to do anything if it's not already in here? If it's in here, you will be reaching your circle as to the best of your ability as you know how. You're going to try your hardest to reach your friends, to reach your family, to reach your coworkers. If the gospel truly is in here and it truly has made an impact in your life, you will do anything possible to reach your circle and personally be a witness if it's in here. But often it's not in here, so we say, I'll pray instead. But when does half-hearted prayers change God's heart? I don't think they do. So then how do we change that? Get it in here and follow step number one, personally. Forget about China for a second. Forget about Los Angeles for a second. Forget about Ukraine for a second. Focus on Hazlitt. Focus on grandma and get it in here. And that will change your life. And once your life is changed, you'll be on your knees praying for me, for Brother Mark, and for all these other countries that are represented because it's in here now. Personally, prayerfully, how do you reach the world? Third, financially. Now, here's a cool thing about that. That's not necessary, right? You don't need finances to reach the world. How do we know that? Because the early church had no finances at all. They didn't have anything. Dads are being ripped from their homes and thrown into jail. Moms are being killed. Families are being torn apart. They had nothing. And the gospel spread like wildfire. Paul even says to the church at Philippi, he says in chapter 4, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, I understand that when you read the rest of the epistles, other churches began to get involved at some point or another. But at this particular time, Paul says, only the church of Philippi. That's it. You Philippians know you're the only ones helping me. Why? Because the rest of the churches didn't have any of this. Money is not necessary to reach the world. It's helpful. So why do we even bring it up then? Because it goes back to the heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if we're going to reach the world, it has to be in that order. So if you think to yourself, I can give to missions, but I don't need to go, stop giving for a moment because your heart's not right. God loves a cheerful giver. Get the steps right. Personally, get there first. Forget praying for all the missionaries for a second. And get involved in your church in witnessing and sharing. Get involved in your community and pass out gospel tracts and give them to the lady at McDonald's and Whataburger and wherever else you go. Get involved personally first. That's where it starts. And once you do that, it'll trickle down to prayerfully and financially. And that's how we reach all nations. All power, all nations. Pastor, I'm sorry. I see the clock here and I'll go fast. I promise. Third, all things. All things. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, this word for teach is different than the word for teach that we saw earlier. This one has the idea to instruct or to impart. So the first teach means to increase disciples, see people saved. This teach has the idea of instructing or imparting doctrine. That's our job. We don't just see people saved and walk away. That's not going to change the world. How do we change the world? You see them saved. You see them baptized. And then you take the doctrines of God's word and you pour them into the life of this new believer. And you see them grow. And once they're growing, guess what? Now there's two of you who can go and do thou likewise, like Paul said in Timothy. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the Great Commission. We think the Great Commission is seeing people saved. And I'm not going to take away from that. That's a big deal. I mean, it's such a big deal that the Bible says that angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that cometh to repentance. It's a big deal, but it's not the Great Commission. And then we pat ourselves on the back when they get baptized. That's a big deal, but it's not the Great Commission. It's two-thirds of it. You're not obedient if you stop there. The Great Commission is you see someone saved, you see someone baptized, and then you disciple them. And then once they're discipled, now the two of you go see someone saved and see someone baptized and see someone discipled. Now the four of you, meaning your job never ends until you take your last breath. That's the Great Commission. It's a lifestyle. It's not a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. It's a lifestyle. And when we live the Great Commission out, the world will change. It will change. All power, all nations, all things. And finally, tonight we see alway. Jesus says, and lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen. Now, this is one of the coolest things to me in all the Bible. If you have a red letter edition Bible, that last word, amen, is what color? It's black. What does that mean? It means that Bible scholars say Jesus didn't say amen. So why is it there? Because the Holy Spirit says, Matthew, make sure you let my church know that I'm agreeing with Jesus. Not only is Jesus with you always, the Holy Spirit is too. In other words, Satan has to go through both Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he couldn't be Jesus by himself. We already know that. So he has no chance against Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Which means then you can't lose. So why are you afraid? That's the number one reason why people don't share their faith. I'm afraid. I'm afraid what my coworkers are going to say. I'm afraid what my nana is going to say. I'm afraid what my boyfriend's going to say. Well, before I continue, if you're dating someone who's not saved, you should stop that relationship, right? I'm going to help you out with there, Pastor. But they're not saved. So I'm afraid that if I say something, they're not going to like me. I might not get the promotion. Don't worry about it. He's with you. Always. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? He made a promise to you. So why not get involved? Often we think to ourselves, where is God in the world today? How many of you ever had that thought? I know I have, right? We see what's going on in Ukraine and we think, where's God? We see everything with Hamas and Israel. Where's God? We see everything going on in California. Where's God? Where is he? He's right where he's always been, sitting on his throne with all power. But I'm afraid the reason why majority of Christians keep asking that question, where is God, is because we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Because if we were to fulfill this, you would feel his power in your life. And you would not have that question because you would, with definitive answer, say, he's with me. And I feel him every single day of my life because I'm living out his Great Commission. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Always. These are the four alls of a witness that is truly all in. And as I said in the beginning, two of them you don't even have to do. God has the all power part down. He doesn't need your help. And he has the all way part down. They're promises. So what about you? Our God is all in, but are you? I'll close with this illustration. Imagine with me for a moment, if you would, that I had a $100 bill in my hand, right? Some of the kids started to smile. $100 bills. Yeah, I want that, right? Why do we want the 100? Because it's the biggest. We're greedy Americans and we want the 100. So I have Benjamin Franklin. Also imagine that someone walks through these double doors right now, and maybe they're from LA and they look homeless. Maybe they look strung out with drugs, or maybe they were beaten. You can see that something, some kind of abuse, something happened to this person, and they're not in a good spot. And they see this $100 bill and they think to themselves, that would help me out a lot. And they muster up the courage to come up to me and say, hey, sir, can I have that? I'm in a desperate strait right now. I really could use that. Now, I have a couple of options. First option is to say, no, it's $100. Are you crazy? You're probably just going to go waste it anyway, right? And I could have a harsh no. I'm not doing that for you. Second option, I say, yeah, sure. I mean, you look like you need it more than I do, and I can give it to them. Third option is what the majority of Christians, I'm afraid, I'm not saying you, maybe it's you, I don't know. But the majority of Christians in America today are doing this. Sure, we'll split it. They will 50-50. Here you go. And they pocket the other half. And they split it with the person. And they, man, I did my good deed for the month. What did that do? Church, what did that do? Nothing. That person still has a need. And I'm the fool. I lost $100. I'm a fool if I did that. But we do that with the gospel every single day. I'm not going to go, but I'll pray. I'm not going to go, but I'll give. Are you all in? Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for your word. I ask that you help us, each and every one of us, to be all in on the Great Commission. It's only when we do that will the world or change. If there's someone here who's not saved, I pray that tonight they would trust you as Savior. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this evening. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?
I'll stand, have a first invitation. Hymn 351, wherever he leads, I'll go. What a message tonight. What a challenge. Are you all in?
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your own today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow by Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads,
between us, wherever
he drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know, and in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow by Christ who loves me so.
Wherever
he leads, I'll go.
All right, please be seated. Appreciate that message tonight. Man, what a message. You know, heard Matthew 28 preached 1,000 times. And enjoyed that very much tonight. Challenged by it. So as the ushers get ready, a couple of reminders. I won't go through the whole, read the bulletin. It's passed out for a reason. Outreach this week, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Encourage you to come out for soul winning. Be a part of our soul winning efforts. And Saturday evening at 7. And you can look through your bulletin there. Several other things going on. I mentioned this morning briefly about hosting the city pastors volunteers last night here in our church. And we've been hosting this for a while. And it was good to meet our new state representative of District 93, Mr. Nate. And it has a hard last name, but I'll learn it eventually. And just to be able to try to be a blessing to our community, and especially to our city council and those who serve the city on various boards. And so wanted our church to know that we do that, that we had a part in that last night. Ushers, if you'll come forward, take up the offering tonight. The Gospel Film Project that Brother Stone mentioned tonight, Brother John Reynolds, and 1900 Saved, what he does with those who make that profession of faith and send him in, email them to let them know that they've been saved, is he'll take that same email address and he'll email the various missionaries in that country and close to them so that the missionaries can follow up and do those things. So there is a very good follow-up method. There's also a follow-up method when it comes to sending them literature and discipleship literature and those things. So it is more than just giving them the gospel. It is trying to fulfill the Great Commission, which is threefold: to evangelize, baptize, and stabilize. Win them, wet them, work them, and worm them. Worm them, probably not, but that's what the old-time preachers used to say. And so we fulfill the Great Commission. It's a threefold commission. We're going to take the offering. You give tonight as the Lord's blessed you, as Brother Watts comes and leads us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us tonight to come to your house to worship and hear your word. We ask that you receive this offering that we're about to take and use it to your best benefits. In the name of Jesus, these things we pray. Amen.
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 One of them Peter's girls, right? And it's good to see her play tonight. All right, let's all stand and be dismissed in prayer. Pray for the brother and Miss Kunze there in Ukraine, working with nationals there to help support and do. And of course, pray for the Yap family as they go to California, the land of the fruits and the flakes. And we're praying. We are praying. Genuinely praying for them and financial support of them. And then reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, first time we've hit 300 in Sunday school in 6 years last Sunday. And I just want to encourage you. There's a lot of visitors, and that was us. That's not HCA Sunday, which has come up in a couple Sundays, which I enjoy Heritage Christian Academy Sunday. But a lot of those folks who come in are members somewhere else. But this was opportunities for us to reach out to a lot of visitors and a lot of potential that we can lead them to the Lord. And so just get out and do it. Amen. Keep the main thing the main thing. Can I have Brother James come and dismiss us in prayer? Appreciate the James family and all the others, Miss Clovis and many others who, Miss Clovis, Miss Judy and others helping with our missionaries today. That's certainly a blessing. There you go, Brother Clovis. I mentioned you tonight. Thought I'd get you in there.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the time that we can spend with our missionaries today, Lord, and just see what you're doing in other parts of the world. Lord, help us, as we've heard tonight, to be all in for you. And Lord, help us to start that tomorrow, Lord, as we go out into the workplace. Please keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.